Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, for saving us, for guiding us, for giving us life, Lord. Thank you. Just quicken our minds and our hearts today that we may be able to hear what you're telling us, what you want us to know, and put it to work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about something that is really can have an impact on our life in a special way. It has to do with Jesus' name, the names of God, you know, and how, you know, the meaning of out of it and how to apply it in our belief system, in our the way we see things. Okay. God is a covenant God. Okay. And that means that he establishes relationships with us. And when we understand how he functions, how he operates, how he works, really we understand his characteristics, the way he has an impact on us. Understanding his name is not just a question of, you know some of the way God is called. It's a way of knowing the way God works in our life. And in Jesus' name, really, all the other names are included because this is the way he decided to work through us and in us. Praise the Lord. See, when I said, you know, God is a covenant God, and a covenant is just like a contract, but it's much more stronger than the contracts we have here on earth. It's a contract that is established, and it's a relationship. It identifies a relationship between somebody that is stronger and somebody that is weaker, generally. So that there is going to be, you know, an interaction and an expectation on both sides. And the contract or the covenant is valid to the degree that that contract is satisfied. And I'm not going to go into all the detail of that, although maybe it's a very interesting study to make to fully appreciate what it means to have, a covenant with God. But really, you know, when God establishes a covenant with us, it's a binding relationship behavior that is expected on both sides. It's expected to comply with the commandment or the instruction that he gives us, but it's also something that we can expect in his side. If he said something, he's not going to be the one breaking the covenant. If he said, I am the Lord that healeth you, he's meaning it, and he's going to do it. If we meet the commitment that are included into that. And that is essentially believing, having faith. And so with all the other things, everything that you receive from God, everything that God promises to us. Okay. Is ye an amen in Christ Jesus? The implication of that this is done in him. And so if you are in him, you can expect his faithfulness to be manifested in that particular situation, in that particular promise, in that particular things that he said he would do for you. But it's not going to happen by itself. It's going to be dependent on you. Your part in this is to believe. And if you believe, you are meeting the conditions. Okay. With that is an oversimplification, if you want. And we had to understand how we function that way. But and we talked about all the time about that. Okay. But he understands us. He understands that we are not perfect very well. Okay. And he knows the way he did us. He created us. But he always, throughout, from the very beginning, established covenants between himself and us, and man. From the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, he started that way. Verse 7, you know, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostril, the breath of life. And man became a living creature. Hallelujah. And the Lord God planted a garden. You see, this is starting to prepare the things for him. Okay, in Eden. Okay, and in the east. And they put the man whom he had formed. Eden, you know, the word Eden actually means pleasure. He put him in a really, in a pleasure place. In a place in which he could have a good time, a perfect experience. Okay. And everything was perfect there because he made it to measure for man. Everything they put there, you see, that was his part. He created man, and as a, for such a purpose, he you know, established all an environment that would be perfectly fit for him in every detail. Okay. And says, you know, there, and out of the out on the ground, the Lord made a spring up every tree that was pleasant, that is pleasant in the sight of good, in sight and of good work, and good food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. But really, it doesn't look like he's doing so much work because, you know, he was working out of the power that was given in him. But, and this is where the point of the covenant is established, the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. You see, this was the covenant, breaking of the covenant that was bringing about death. And he wasn't talking just about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death, the separation from the power of God that was working in him before. Okay. There are different levels of death. And we, because we are so physically directed, so physically centered, you know, we think about death only when somebody's dead, body dies. But really the most important part is actually the life that is in us. And this is really the most, the things that happen immediately when Adam sinned and, you know, sold out to Satan. Okay, that's the thing. Okay, so, but that was the condition according to which Adam could benefit all the blessings and the pleasure that was provided for us in the garden. It was all there without any work, any things, hardness for him. There was nothing hard there. It was just full enjoyment of life. And because of ignorance, because of blindness, he got caught up into the submitting to Satan. Okay. So, and, you know, just to complete the picture, you know, and the Lord said, it is good for men that shouldn't be alone, and I make him an helper for him. So, just somebody that would have fellowship, because God was a God that like relationships, and he established for us the same type of relationship that he could have. And he, you know, in that way, could we could also learn to have a better relationship with him. Now, okay, when Adam fell, that covenant was broken. And all the blessings became curses, because the covenant that came after wasn't really with Adam himself, although it's often called the Adamic covenant, but was to Satan, because Satan had taken the place of Adam in the world. Satan have taken over the responsibilities and the authority that Adam had, so that Adam now was operating under him. He was slave of him. Okay? That was not God's plan, and God, in his goodness and in his mercy, immediately start operating and functioning on what he had planned from the beginning anyway, to reestablish Adam where he was before. Now, but Adam had submitted his spirit to Satan. And that changed everything for us. And Jesus, you know, and God promised the Messiah to come to deliver us. And he's come, came, and he did that. See, but there was a lot of work to do. There was a lot of changes to take place. Okay, lots of covenant. There have been a series of covenant, and you know, somebody count them, you know, count them differently, but doesn't matter. You know, each covenant was a progression toward what God wanted to establish, which, you know, we are now in the new covenant. This is a covenant that is better than all the covenant before. Okay, and was promised, okay, before, but it was really explained very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31 says, "Behold, the day are coming, declared the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel." Okay. Praise the Lord. "After those days, declared the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." See, this was announcing essentially 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay? A new creation was going to be made, okay, in us. They will put, you know, the law inside their heart, not anymore that they are rejected. There was rebellion. It was what happened in the garden. And there will be in them, okay, a desire to be connected with God. This is what happened as a result of the new covenant. Okay. But this is a better covenant. And we saw that in Hebrew, book of Hebrew, chapter 8, verse 6, says very clearly, you know, this is a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he's also a mediator of a better covenant. The mediator was generally when there was a representative representing a group of people. He was the one going to establish the covenant. And this was Jesus in this case. There was the perfect, both man and at the same time without having sin upon him, so that he could actually establish a relationship with God. That's what took place. It was a better covenant. It was just established over better promises. Hallelujah. Okay. And one of the impact that having the laws written in our heart, okay, that, you know, these better promises, that we shall not, you know, says, you know, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11 says, "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all of them shall know me, from the least of them through the greatest of them." This is the change that takes place, the connection that is taking place between us and God that was not possible before. There is a new relationship taking place that everyone can have. But we have a part to play. And the part to play, again, is faith, believing. Believing what? Believing God's promises, believing of what he has done, believing what Jesus has accomplished. The mediator established the covenant. Now it's for us to believe in what he has done, that is sufficient. You see, our faith, our believing, our accepting what God has done is critical in our walk as a believer. You cannot be a believer not believing. Either you are a believer or a non-believer. And at each moment, you have the choice, a choice to make. For every situation in your life, you have a choice that you can make. See, God gave us free choice to choose what we will be with us. This is not because we deserve it. This is not because we are so special. Because after all, we were children of Adam. So we have the same tendencies, you know, that he established in us. But we can expect what God said to be true. And we can accept what the prophecies throughout the century were given to us. We can expect to be true what Jesus accomplished, demonstrating in the fact that he was taking our praise, dying for us, taking care of all the consequences of sin so that we may be free from them. Not because of what we can do or we do, because we cannot save ourselves, but because of what he did for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when we understand that, and that there is a commitment on God's side, a desire on God's side to help us in our situation, because we were his creation. And he recreated us the moment in which we were born again. Okay. And that right in the laws in our heart doesn't happen at the moment when we are born again. We just get a bit of that. But it's a process that starts the very moment in which we are born again, that our spirit is reconnected with God through the spirit inside us, ministering to us, with the Holy Spirit that's making available to us to be our guide, to be the one that is guiding us into all truth, so that we can face all our ideas, all our thoughts, and see if they line up with God's thoughts and ideas. And make a decision to align our thoughts with his thought. To allow his thought to become our thoughts, so that he can be our God, because we are aligned with him. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important. You see, it's the process, our journey that we take in this world, preparing us for when his full plan for us is achieved. He wants us to walk in complete freedom, in complete union with him. And he has designed, established a pattern according to which is going to happen. And the way it's going to happen is because we decide we want it. You see, that is the key of the need that we have to decide to choose God's way and not the enemy's way. To believe his word rather than believe the word of the enemy. See, that's how we grow through decisions, repentance. That's what it does it. When we acknowledge, oh, I'm wrong thinking this way, this doesn't line up with God. God will, God, desire, God, truth tells us otherwise, and we renounce to those things that are actually bringing destruction and separation from God, and embrace the things that are bringing the power of God, the life of God, the operation, the power of the Holy Spirit inside us, manifested in our life, to give us victory over all the things that are contrary to us. Okay, this is God's desire, to the point that is not manifested completely yet, but is going to be manifested for those that are open to him when Jesus comes back the second time. Praise God. And the day is getting closer. The day is getting closer and closer, because we see all the elements that are predicted in the word, that are prophesied in the past, that are coming to pass these days, more than ever came to pass before. There are things that were prophesied that were impossible before, but now they are possible. Things can happen every day. And we have to be ready for that. Praise the Lord. See, the new old covenant, okay, see, let me go back a moment here. In Hebrews chapter verse 12, okay, they come to the one that I said before, you know, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You see, you are not perfect. We are imperfect. But says, God will be merciful to us. It's his mercy, it's his compassion, it's his love that motivates him to deal with us in the first place. Because he created us. Because he knows our limitations. Because he knows that we need compassion. And he is full of compassion. That's what Jesus demonstrated to us. He was, the things that he was always moved with the crowds, with the people that are around there, he was moved by compassion. He sees the love of God. Compassion is the agape love that he demonstrated in his life, the agape love that God has for us. And for that reason, he, you know, doesn't deal with us, okay, according to our unrighteousness. Praise God, in our sins. And we'll remember no more as we deal with them one by one. As the Holy Spirit guiding us, revealing to us things, showing us the way that our heart is separated from God in the things that displease him, and make those decisions for repentance, for accepting, for changing our ways. And when we do that, according to 1 John chapter 1, you know, we repent of our sin, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all the things, so he won't really remember them anymore. Hallelujah. See, this is something that we had to understand. We had to deal with it in our life. And we don't need to go around being oppressed by the limitations that we have, realizing that God wants to release his mercy and his love toward us as we are willing to connect with him. See, the Holy Spirit job, the Holy Spirit work, is to communicate with us, to guide us into all truth. The truth that we receive from the Holy Spirit, we had to hear it. We had to have ear to hear, so that he can heal us, that he can deliver us, that he can set us free. When we hear it and we comply with it, we agree with it, we submit to him. See, every knee shall bow. That includes our knees. Our will has to be submitted to his will. And as we submit our will and his will to him, and we accept his direction, the direction of the Holy Spirit, then the changes is must come automatically from the power of God, from the power of the Holy Spirit, empowering us. See, he just doesn't guide us. He guides us, and as we respond, he empowers us. And he has empowered us. He's break the bondages, break the sin power, break all the things that keep us bound to bring us into a place of power, of victory, of connection with God. The same connection that Jesus had with the Father. This is what God wants to produce and generate in us through the work of the Holy Spirit that could not be done in any other way with the previous covenants. We are in the best covenant up to now that we can never think was possible before. Hallelujah. See, the following verse says, you know, this is all based on his mercy, on his grace, his free gift given to us that we can receive, that we can manifest in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is so good. He is so full of mercy and goodness and love toward us that the only thing, when we understand, when we get revelation about that, that love, there is nothing we can do but respond with our Lord because he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. See, the love that we have is not just something because it's a commandment done to us. It's because we realize that we cannot do anything else but love him back. Praise the Lord. And so when we start operating on that level, the changes become so much easier because it's actually fulfilling in us what we really want, what we really need, what we were made for. Because that was God's objective from the very beginning. That was what he was trying to, the way he was trying to connect with God, with Adam at the beginning. And in a way, he achieved that. But evidently, Adam wasn't smart enough to figure it completely out. And he was easily deceived by something that his senses got caught on and the enemy provided there. Okay, praise the Lord. But that was the test that he had to overcome. That's why he was in there in the first place. Because there are decisions to be made. See, that decision to believe rather than not believe. That decision to submit rather than to rebel. That decision to say yes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us rather than going after our own desires that actually are nothing compared to his. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this new covenant, and he says, a new covenant, he has made first the first one obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. See, he's not completely gone. You know, we are going, in a way, we still go according to the law. Because it guides us. You know, that brings our attention to things that need to be changed. But that attention is because, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing something, but the law, you see, the law is our teacher. But it's not our empower, it's not the deliverer. Is what's happening in our heart by the direction of the Holy Spirit. They give us the freedom, they give us the victory, they give us the power, they give us the blessings, because this is what God wants to do. He created us to enjoy us and for us to enjoy him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that's why, you know, we were looking, in some people in the Old Testament got a glimpse of that out of the revelation of God as they came into that revelation. Okay. But they were special people. They weren't everybody. He says, no one shall say to the other, know the Lord. Before, there were only some special people that would have that relationship. King, priests, and prophets. Because they were anointed for that purpose. Okay, to communicate to others. Now, if you are born again, the word says that you are just, you know, better than all the prophets of the Old Testament. Amen. So we should be in a super advantageous position to be able to connect with God, to be able to know Him with revelation knowledge and revelation power. Because, you know, revelation knowledge is not to give you mental understanding. Sometimes you can get some revelation without having completely able to put into word or to connect things. But what the things that you get is power. Okay, that is the power inside you, you know, that is released by the revelation. Each time there has been a revelation in history of the church, okay, there was great power manifested in revival. And then the revelation becomes status quo and the old things fade out. Because there is no anymore revelation, it's just simply a piece of knowledge that you have. But it's the yada, the revelation knowledge that is inside us that produces the power in us to manifest God's supernatural abilities, even in our life, the divine nature attributes that we receive through the promises of God manifested. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is why, you know, people that had that, like David, you know, expressed that by blessing the Lord, by thanking Him, by rejoicing in the Lord. Psalm 103 is the typical example, you know, and they make a list at the very beginning, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, the two things are so closely together. When we forget all His benefits, then we are not blessing the Lord so much anymore because we are so caught up into the other stuff of life that sometimes it's not very easy and it's difficult. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. We had to learn to walk in God's blessings, in God's promises. Praise the Lord. That's why we should not forget them. We should keep realizing and blessing the Lord for everything He had done for us. You know, and make a list right there. And those same blessings are available today for us because we need them. Forgives our iniquities. And he heal our diseases. See, it's interesting. You know, Jesus took our diseases before even taking our sins. He took our, you know, he first suffered pain, the pain that is a consequence of sin. Then he took our sin on himself and he paid for that through his death. So he just, in a way, you know, he took care of the consequences of sin even before taking, you know, except for death. And finally, he dealt with the final stroke against the enemy, taking his our place in death so that we can live. And so there it says, you know, yeah, the benefits that we have today, you know, are so many. And are so blessing, you know, like our diseases, you know, he redeemed our life from destruction, so he's taking pain, buying us back. He crowned us life with loving kindness and tender mercy. That doesn't mean, you know, that means that he actually doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve. It is nicer than we can expect. or we should, you know, why? Because he cares, because he loves us, and because not just he loves us, but he's merciful, because he goes out of his way, he has compassion for our position. Hallelujah. And, you know, and he, you know, renew our youth like the eagle, okay? Just give us energy, satisfying, you know, satisfy our mouth with good things. So take care of all the detail of our life, okay? And that should be really the expectation and the hope for believers to live that way, to be able to, you know, experience that as we are in communion with God. In communion with God, God doesn't take away the fun from life. God give us fun in our life. Give us pleasure, because in his pleasure, there is pleasure or more. Okay. So we have to realize that. And, you know, even in Psalm 103, even if it was just a revelation, there was David had in a special way, okay? But that applies to everybody, to each one of us, okay? Continuing there, okay, shows us that not everybody has the same degree of revelation. Not everybody has the same degree of understanding, and so they respond differently. You know, here, for example, in verse 7, okay, says, he made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Okay, so you see, Moses was a prophet. He understood. He understood the way God operated. Okay, but the children of Israel couldn't figure it out, weren't there. They weren't anointed to be able. Now we should be able to see the way Moses saw, you know, how God works with us. Jesus came to explain it to us. And the Bible is clear, and give us the Holy Spirit to be able to have that connection with God that the children of Israel didn't have. That when God tried to connect with them, said, oh, no, no, you know, we are afraid. Just talk with Moses, and we are going to do what he says. You know, they were cutting off God from the what he wanted to do, the relationship that he wanted to have with them. This is so important for us to understand that really the degree to which we are going to experience the fellowship and the interaction, the relationship that we have with God is depending on us. If we trust him, if we believe the Bible, believe his word, we are going to be able to have that relationship with him on a bigger level and to understand the way he deals with us and to connect with him and to progress quickly in this. Or if we are blocked in our mind, if we don't trust him, if he thinks that he's going to take things away from us that we want, we are never going to be able to connect with him, because we are going to cut him off, just as the children of Israel did in those days, in the past. And this is really much worse than what they did, because what they did was in complete ignorance. We have Jesus coming to us. We have so much information in the Word, in the Bible. We have so much and so many years of experience in the past, throughout the century of the church. We should know better. We should know and respond to what he has done for us. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, our desire to connect with him without fear. See, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is being afraid of not hearing what he's telling us. Because we want badly, so badly, to be connected with him. Because this is the greatest thing that we can do in our life. There has to be the greatest, strongest desire, loving God with all your heart. Because you know that that's the best things that you can do. Hallelujah. See, knowing his ways When you start knowing his ways, you are going to be like Moses. Because you know the way it works. Every born-again believer should know the way God works. Unless it's just religious. Religion doesn't do it. It's the personal relationship with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus that makes a difference. Okay. Just seeing that God perform miracles just doesn't do anything to you if they don't touch you. You have to be able to connect with them and see the miracles in your life. You know, that sometimes is more difficult even for people that are used by God. Praise the Lord. Because that is where really the things start and, you know, where one wants to get to. Okay. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. See, his compassion, his kindness, his loving kindness is just the motivation inside him. And you should connect with that part of God because that is what is going to establish your relationship and your response to him. He says, we will not always strive with you, with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Okay, this is really, you know, the way God wants it. God wants to have, okay, his rules written in our heart so that we respond to him. Okay, all creations blesses the Lord. All creations is connected with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there are so many things, even in that psalm, that I have not covered. And that's why I skipped the page. Okay. So, just his deal with us, okay, not according to our sins, not according to our iniquities, okay? According to the way he sees us. Okay? And the way we respond to him. The key element that he looks to us is if we want to have a relationship with him. Not our perfection. This is what is repeated from that moment on in Psalm 103. Okay, says there, okay, he doesn't deal with us according to our sin, not punishes according to our transgression, okay, but for as the heaven is high above the earth, great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Those who fear him are those that really want to have a relationship with him. So they fear to lose him. They fear not to be able to connect with him. That's what makes the difference. Says, as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgression for us. You see, he's removed or sent away as forgiveness is included there. Okay. As the father has pity for his children, so the Lord pities those who, again, fear him. See, that idea is repeated over and over and over to us. That we may understand it. We may understand that our desire is to connect with him. To have anything that is in the way between us and him removed from us. Have our priority number one, our relationship with him. Everything else comes second. We can have other things. We can love others. But God first. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me continue here. Okay. For he knows our frame, that says there. He remembers that we are dust. See, our frame, the word there is Jether, which actually means, you know, the conception or the way he created, the way he made us, they made us from dust. Okay, so he just, you're just dust, okay? And, you know, and then he put the life inside there. But there is that component there that is pulling you down on the earth. Okay? Okay. Says, and it says, you know, the thing is our focus sometimes is only on that part, on the physical body that we have. Okay? Says, for us men, his day are like grass. As a flower on the field, so he flourishes. Okay? But for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. In his place, remember it no more. Here he's evidently talking about the physical part of us. The physical part of us doesn't last very long. Especially considering God's perspective of time, it's just flicker when I. But, you know, God is a completely different dimension from that point of view. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the mercies of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting. See, it lasts forever. On those who fear him. Again, you see that concept of actually fearing God, wanting him, not wanting to miss him, wanting to connect with him, is there all the time. And his righteousness to his children. Okay. Here he evidently says, explaining, correcting the idea there, says, to such as keep the covenant and those who remember his commandment to do them. So you see, the children are not just because God doesn't have grandchildren. Okay, God has children, and the children are going to benefit only as they keep the commandment and they obey and they remember his covenant. So they remember the things. You see, there is nothing, the fact that you are born from somebody that is a, you know, saint of God doesn't mean that he's going to give you a prayer. You know, you got more information. You got an experience before you that you can use. But you can go by my father or my mother or whatever things before God says, you know, you are the one going to be dependent on the relationship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, all these things show how God wants to connect with us and want to have a personal, not a religious relationship with us. A personal, individual, single, determined by your position of the heart, by your willingness, your decisions that you made day by day, moment by moment, to be connected with him. See, that's what brings God's blessings. Okay. Keeping his covenant, keeping the agreement, keeping that relationship. Then goes on a bit more, talking more in general. See, talking about the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So he's saying, you know, the fact that God is in control of everything. That doesn't mean that God determines your actions. That means that you are, you know, leave you freedom to choose. Okay? And but there are consequences of your choices, and he's really controlling the whole world through the laws that he has created. Okay? All creation is submitted to his rules and his law. He rules over all. That's what it's saying there. Then goes on different people connected, or different being connected with him, different connection with him. Okay. Starting, you know, all creation is blessed by the Lord. And he's talking about here the creation of God, how it blesses the Lord. Starting with, you know, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, all ye angels. Okay. Who excel in strength, and do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. So he's starting at the level of the angels. It says the angels bless the Lord. If they are connected with God, the angels are connected with God, they are going to be blessing the Lord because they are recognizing what he does with them. Okay. And it's explaining what they are doing. I mean, excelling strength. So they have great power. Okay? They have great power. And what they do, they accomplish the word. They make the word become a reality in the physical. Okay. And, okay, heeding the voice of his word. Who the voice of his word is what? Is the people that speak actually the word of God. So they hear when you are speaking the word and they're going to keep carrying it out. Okay. So here is, you know, what goes in, for example, in Hebrews 3:1-14, it says, you know, the angels are not the ministry spirit sent forth to the minister to those who are the inherit salvation. So really the idea here is this, okay, that those who inherit salvation is us, people that are connected with God, and they're ministering to us, carrying out the word that we speak out. Okay, continue, going to the next step. Okay, this is one of the level of creation. The other level of creation is what? Okay, bless the Lord, O ye hosts. Okay, the hosts, okay, are those you minister of him, of his will, okay, who do his pleasure. So who are the hosts? The believers. Okay. You believers are going to bless the Lord. Because why? Because they are the minister of his. I mean, they're doing his will on earth. They're doing, carrying out the will. So, you know, you're talking about the level of us. Angels are blessing him. Believers are going to be blessing him too. Okay. Continue here. These are all the level of blessing that God created, you know, for us to do, okay? And then says, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, all his works in the place of his dominion. Bless the Lord. The works is nothing else than the inanimated things that are in the world, okay? The nature, the stars, all the other things that God has created, they speak about the glory of God. All these things. And so their speaking the glory of God are nothing else than, you know, the way that their blessing is manifested about God. Okay. In, you know, for example, in Psalm 8, verse 1, says the Psalm of David, David had this relationship already, this revelation. Okay. Oh, you know, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name on the whole earth. Is he talking about God manifesting his character, his characteristics? Okay. Who set his glory above the heavens? You see, the heavens show the glory of God. So really that is nothing else than showing the glory, the God that the creation gives to God. And that talks to us. We can see the glory of God by just looking, you know, to the sky at night, or looking at the things that he has created, or the beauty of nature, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. You know, other things that, you know, that, for example, Psalm 19, verse 1, you know, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks. You see, again, you know, you can see here that these things are actually blessing, manifesting, giving glory to God, like we do when we say, bless the Lord, you know, and we manifest his glory and we give him glory, okay? Even in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, you know, since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, okay? Even the eternal power of Godhead, for they are without excuse, the one that don't recognize God exists. Okay. So we can see, okay, how God desire to for us to connect with him. And the best way we can connect with it is when we start giving him glory. Because we recognize, you see, we come into the reality of his glory. His glory is going to be manifested in us. Okay. That is the best way to connect with God. Start praising him. Start glorifying him. Start extolling his mighty works. Start recognizing the way he works in us. Start cooperating with him in our relationship with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, really that, what it does that is really to recognize, okay, his different characteristic, what he has created, how he has done. Knowing his name means that we know, we are submitted to his name. So, you know, bow our knees to him as we acknowledge what he has done, acknowledge the things that he wants to manifest in our life, acknowledge the blessing that he is going to give us through his promises. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus, to just conclude here, Jesus is, okay, the key element in all this. Because he is the one that through whom, you know, all things, and in him and for him, all things were created. Now, one needs revelation about that. One needs revelation because that was the plan of God from the very beginning. When the Son was part of the Trinity, it was already from the very beginning. And the Son was part of creating and everything, you know, created through him. And in him, you know, nothing was made. It was made. Hallelujah. And he's the head of his body, the church. Really, I think that's, I don't know if I can cover this at the moment. We had to get revelation on that, meditate on that. You know, there are scriptures talking about that. You know, for example, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created, and are that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." And then came the time when Jesus was born. And he is the head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, from the dead, and all things in way he has prominence. So, see, when God created us, he had planned this connection between us and Jesus from the beginning. Wasn't a second thought. Was plan B. He knew that we were going to fall because we were imperfect. We weren't God. But he wanted, nevertheless, to have a relationship with us. A relationship that was just as spiritual and just as powerful as the one that a spiritual being could really have with them, with him. Angels weren't programmed that way, but we were. And we had to, in a way or another, be able to appropriate the blessing. And that was the test to take place. That was to overcome the temptation due to weakness, and that the plan that was from the very beginning for us to come into through Jesus, through the Son, who took flesh and became fully a man like us and suffered for our mistakes because of God's love for us, taking our place into enabling us to share into that fellowship that he had planned. And no matter what kind of fellowship we had together now is nothing compared to the one that is coming. You see? Praise the Lord. The power of transformation that's taking place in us as Jesus comes back. And our earthly body are transformed into spiritual bodies. They can have a fellowship with God far superior than anything we can do now. This is God's plan. This is the ultimate plan that God has. And I'm not going to go into all the detail because we don't have any time now. But this is really, you know, we are his body for now. But it's not going to be the body that is going to be when he comes back. Praise the Lord. I'm going to leave you with that. And we are going to pray about it. Pray for revelation, you know, wisdom of Spirit of wisdom and revelation to give us a bit of insight about God's plan and the type of relationship that he wants to have with each one of us so that we start desiring that relationship with him right now. Wanting is fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that is going to guide us there. Praise the Lord. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your compassion about our limitations. We know that we are but dust. But you, Lord, have the power to transform us, to empower us, to make us more and more like Jesus as we desire in our heart to align ourselves with your will, that your will may be done, not ours, that we may respond to the call in our life that you've given us. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the possibility that you have given us to choose to know you in a personal way, in a deeper way, in a way that empower us to become your children, your sons, the way you want us to be. And we thank you for that. Give us revelation, understanding, and the desire to respond to the call that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.